Name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the first month, the eighth day in the year 2023, and it's the feast day of the Most Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Bless us and protect us. And I'd like to extend that also. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, St. Joachim and St. Anne, St. Zachary and St. Elizabeth, and St. John the Baptist. And this, I always, every day I pray, especially to the Holy Family, the devotion to the Holy Family, which is so beautiful, because that God shows you that our whole existence in society is built upon the family. Even a governmental structure is built upon the family. Monarchy, father, head of the house, and all that. So I've done many lectures on the Most Holy Family, at least a couple, so you can review those. But, and this is the, it always falls on the first Lord's Day after the Epiphany. Yeah. And that's how that works here for our calendar. And so that's what we're going to be, the Mass we're going to be celebrating today. Actually, our two busiest weeks are the week before and after resurrection, that we get those to hold, and then these 2 weeks. And actually, I don't know if I've got in the rule, Phil, you can check this. I think we should be praying the Joyful Mysteries for these 2 weeks. Even this week, we should have prayed it. Is that what I have in the rule? I should have that in the rule, right?
It's in the rule, but it ended up.
It's
Epiphany. Oh, well, that's okay, yeah.
Yeah,
it's not. It's more than a week then.
Right. Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I thought it was only 1 week, but these are the two busiest weeks, two busiest sessions of the whole year. You see, we're coming together every day, and we got Maundy Day, good 6th week day, good 7th week day, Resurrection Day, the one day after that, that's five. And that this is even more busy with all the little feasts in there. That's why we didn't come together on the purification one. But it's still a beautiful time of the year, of course. The two most beautiful times of the year, our Lord's birth, and then is when he redeemed us, which we're celebrating now. So now, what we're doing here, I want to get that Trump thing done. I don't want to have it in like piecemeal. And there's quite a few things we need to say about him. I don't know if you guys heard about, but recently he said he lost because of these hardcore pro-lifers that believe you can't have abortion for any reason. That's what he said. What a lie. First of all, he's a lying bastard, because every candidate, Republican that ran, did support abortion for rape and incest, which we don't support, but it's a lesser evil, right? And not one of them I know said no abortion for no case. So he's lying. So, and everyone that ran on that half-ass stance, they lost anyway, you know. And we support no abortion. So he's blaming us. All of us are really strict and say abort. Now, here's my point on this. And the guy told Joe Rogan this when he had the debate. He said, if you agree that it's death, it's murder, it's murder. It doesn't matter whether it's rape or incest. It's not a matter of how it happened. It's a matter of the kid. Now, you could put the kid up to adoption. Fine. But he's a living human being. That's what matters. So I'm going to, and he's just blatant, and he's a lying bastard. He lies, and then he's very disloyal to his own people. He wants loyalty, but he threw every one of his people under the bus. And McCarthy, too, so we got a whole list. Will and I are going to work on it this week, and Ryan, anybody else, any stuff? It might take me 2 weeks. I don't know. But I don't want to do two things, but it's going to be called Catholics Must Not Vote for Trump Unless He Repents. And I'm going to warn him what I said in the first video. I hope you don't attack me. I hope you don't go against me. Like Constantine first went against Pope St. Sylvester, and he got struck with leprosy. And then when Constantine had leprosy, God told him, St. Peter and Paul appeared to him and told him to go to Sylvester to get healed.
Yeah.
So this is good. Maybe you have to do this. God will strike him with leprosy.
Yeah.
Some type of a disease.
Yeah.
In a dream, Peter and Paul say, go to Richard.
Yeah.
That'd be nice, right? I mean, if it don't happen, I don't. If it happens, fine. If it don't, it don't. He's a bum.
Yeah.
Until it happens. If it happens, that would be nice. If it don't, who cares? I mean, Nathaniel Kaplan had a great thing attacking. See, the iron's hot on this guy. And he doesn't realize he's his own worst enemy. He lost a lot of people. He's not going to win. What he just did was worse than... It's because of blackmail, too. So I don't want to... he's scared of blackmail. And he has to fess up and be courageous and be willing to go down with them. That's how I'm going to end the lecture. All right, now... That was interesting, too, what Brother Dermot brought up. But what do we say about all of that? What else is new? I mean, this has been going on not just in Ireland. Europe, all the one-time Christian nations are all undergoing the same thing that Ireland's undergoing. All the same things. And you know what God is? Like Brother Derman says, he's humbling all these nationalistic people who idolize nationalism. That's why he is allowing all this stuff to happen. Muslims coming in because they didn't care about the faith. Because, you know, God took the 10 tribe, northern tribes of Israel to the Syrian exile, and they were lost forever. I mean, they're still out there somewhere, but they lost their identity. There's some of the tribal members that still are around, like Asir, Anno, the prophet from the tribe Asir. But God's punishing them. But it still doesn't make any excuse for these bastard compromisers who are Freemasons. He said Michael Collins was a Freemason, which I believe. Yeah. You know, it's like Dermot said, when you make a movie about a guy and you idolize him, you got it's still got some good historical stuff in there. But what I would do, maybe, I could put a little note in there. Beware, though, he's not as good as they make him out to be. This guy was a Freemason. Now, like we said, it's okay to work with the British. You're not supposed to kill the British unless they're oppressing you and forcing you to do something against faith and morals. A lot of these nationalists were unjustly attacking the Brits. So you got a whole big mess there. But when you got Freemasons involved and humanists, they don't care. They're all on the same page with the Jews, you know, and as to what's going on in Ireland now. Look at Sinn Féin and all these groups. So even like Brother Durham was saying, like, he gave us the name of the guy, and we're going to pray for him. And I mean, it's still good to have a history of it, but we can say, well, what else is new? What else is new? I mean, it's just some of your here, you know, it's new to maybe some nationalists that are idolized when he looks into the background of these people. And I think that we get this in the United States too with all the politicians. It's no different. Look what I'm talking about Trump. It never ends. It's like every time you think someone's out there to help you, they stab you in the back. And because there is no good Catholic government in the world. And when a so-called Catholic nation falls away, they're more evil than even the pagan nations. More evil than the pagan nations. So God's teaching these people, and who are the true heroes? A little quiz to all you people out there. Who are the true heroes of Ireland? Not you guys. Let's see if the Irish people know. Who are the true heroes of Ireland, Brother Dermot, TJ, Nicolaine, and Declan?
True heroes of the Saints?
Yes, the Saints. Yep. St. Patrick, St. Brendan, St. Benignus. Just if you feel a little low, watch St. Patrick. I said, Ireland needs another St. Patrick and maybe two or three of them in these days. But is he going to convert the whole of Ireland? No. But is he going to convert some people? Yeah. Who knows how many? It doesn't matter how many. All it matters, if you do start converting some Irish people, it's a wonderful thing when you convert anybody. But God's got Europe and all these one-time Catholic nations slated to be almost totally, devastatedly destroyed and killed. And that's going to be good for us. Because we're the true Catholics, and in Ireland too, are going to be the only voice that, other than the Antichrist, that so good will people will be listening to us. And so, see how hard time this Joshua McKinney has about the Patrick Pierce? He doesn't want to believe it because he's still idolizing the nation. Well, when they're all gone, maybe you got to let him live. Maybe he won't kill him, but he might. But if he survives, he's then going to have to say, I better listen to what these guys say. Yeah, you better listen. And you should have listened. And you better thank God that he didn't kill you with the rest of them. Once you start putting your nation over, what was the other, my verse today even, like, how the Jews are always going back. Like the Northern Kingdom surprises me, as there was not one good king in Northern. It was all idolatry. And so, I mean, Jews fighting Jews. Race isn't going to get you nowhere. Faith is going to get you everywhere. And we suspected anyway, what I'm getting at with Jerry Adams and all, you don't become friendly with Clinton unless you're a Freemason. You know, when they made that deal, Mark McGuinness too. Now, like Dermot said, we believed he was better than Jerry Adams. He got caught in the middle of this, and Jerry Adams is the key figure. And so he's going along because what else? Are they going to kill him or just shove him out of the party and he has no political power? So he went along to get along, Mark McGuinness. But Jerry Adams, you know, friendly with Clinton. And then what he was telling, they're slobs. You know, basically, what you guys are learning about these Irish so-called heroes, USA people have to learn about the founding fathers. Exactly. Our founding fathers. The founding fathers. I'm not talking about the church fathers. I'm talking about the United States. And it relates because Brother Will sent to these two political people he's involved with, and he told them, you know, I hate to tell you, I know you're like sis boombah. United States is a Christian nation, always was. No, it ain't. Never was. Never was meant to be. Just pretend Christian nation. Most of the people who make the Constitution, your presidents, were Freemasons. And they're not Christians. And they actually hated true Christianity. So that's what I'm getting at, okay? So you go along and you say, Benjamin Franklin was our hero. Patrick Pierce was the Irish hero. Michael Collins was the Irish hero. George Washington is our hero. Well, take a look at the hidden faith of the fathers and look what they believed in. Benjamin Franklin was a warlock. Offered up babies for human sacrifices, okay? Pedophilia, sex pervert. Everyone knew he was a sex pervert, though. That one they admit, but they like it. They go, "Oh, he was a little risque, you know. He was a little, yeah." But these are our heroes. Washington too. I shall not lie. I chopped down the cherry tree. Yeah, he never told a lie in his life, except for that one lie when he takes oaths to lie. You see, all our heroes, and actually, they were never really my heroes. I said, okay, Washington, but I didn't go crazy. To me, American history had huge gaps, and they never filled those gaps. So you didn't really understand. It was like really weird. You know, they would tell you a story, and you go, well, but why? But who? And what's the reasons? But every country has their traitors and that were pretended out to be heroes. And we were traitors, too. We went to school and learned this stuff. And they brainwashed us with humanism. We were like baby Freemasons from the day we went to school and got out. They trained us all to be Freemasons, humanists, which is what a Freemason is. So this revelation that came to Dermot was interesting because it happened during the manifestation of the Gentile, Christ to the Gentile world and to the three kings. And he's learning this. And it's like... Dermot said, it's hard for some people that are hardcore nationalists to accept it. And so they'll attack me. And they'll say, Ibrani's undermining my race. He wants to destroy the whole Irish race. Ibrani's trying to destroy the Irish people or the Italian people or the German people or the French people. But I talk about the Jews themselves, and I'm racially a Jew, and most Jews are evil, and they're going to hell. It's not about race. God loves races. He created them. But some races are so evil, he destroys the whole race. But people who put race above faith are going to hate me. They're going to attack me on every point. Because they want their... Italians are pretty proud about their race, too. I grew up with Italians. Kiss me, I'm Italian. You know, they always wear their Italian buttons and all that. I like the Italians, though. You know, it's funny. Even though they did put their race number one, they loved other very, very hospitable people, just strangers even. They'll open their home to you. They'll give you a nice meal, everything. They were very, very warm, nice people. Still, even, but they were proud of their race. Maybe too much. So you got to take you got to take your sides. Even Jeremiah, when he was condemning the evil Jews in his day, and he said, "You Jews are so evil, my own people, that God's going to send you into the Babylonian exile and submit to the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar." And what did they call Jeremiah? A traitor to the Israeli race. A traitor to the Jewish race. He's a traitor. He's going against his own racial people and supporting his Babylonian pagan king. And Jeremiah said, yeah, you're more evil than he is, and God determined you to be punished. So, yes, faith comes before race, says Jeremiah. And no, I'm not a traitor. Because the true benefit for any race to survive is they need the faith. So he really loved the Jewish race more than they did. They didn't love their own Jewish race. They didn't love it. They thought they did because they didn't love God, number one. And so as a result, they were taken into exile, a lot of them dead, and went to hell. So what's your race going to do you when you're in hell? Can you imagine them in hell right now? Kiss me, I'm Italian. Hey, I'm Irish. Hey. They don't even care.
I know.
It's there's nothing down there. Anything that they remembered on earth is like is gone. They have it, but it means nothing because it's just pure suffering. They're in another kingdom now. Now you lost your race even. I always said, like, when people go to hell, it's like you're not even a human being anymore. You lost even your race. You just now belong to the race of Satan. You now belong to the demon race. And that's it. You can boast about that all you want when you're in hell. So this is my little short lecture. But like I said, I don't want to get... Already I'm giving a little of a lecture. But I have to try to... because I really want to get... I have to do the Trump thing the right way. And the iron is hot for it right now. If we put that out right now, too, it gives them a couple years to maybe repent and all that. It can happen. But I tell you something. So far, like Nathaniel Kapner said, DeSantis is on our top list, yeah. Unless and we'll see what he does.
Yeah.
Until he, you know, next. And then also Kanye West, yay, if he runs.
Right.
Yeah. But any questions so far from what I said on and Dermot, maybe anything? Would you like to enlighten us with anything else, Brother Dermot? Any other bad news? Go ahead.
No, basically it was interesting. And he's like, anybody that gets a bit of into the public eye or anybody that rises up the ladder, you know, financially or through business, the Masons will go after him.
Absolutely.
In fact, he says the way they do it is they take him on this little course, they invite him to this little innocuous course. They call it community leadership. And I think you go like once a week for 6 weeks and you're taught all the skills of aggressive leadership, how to control people, how to control situations, how to win debates, how to never back down in an argument, how to speak positively, positive thinking, all that kind of thing. Well, he went on that course, but he didn't realize this was a preempt, you know, to get him into the Masons kind of thing, but he knew what they were at and he rejected all the rest. He says that it's all going to be in there, you know. He's angry at the amount of unnecessary bloodshed, etc., you know, at the hands of the Masons, most of them, the leadership were Masons, Adams. I don't know if McGuinness was a Mason, but he was certainly under control of MI5. Adams, he said, was a Mason.
Yeah, McGuinness would have been a useful idiot. Yeah, at least a useful idiot.
Yeah,
you know?
He had more morality, had more upstanding.
Yeah, I got that from him also.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's what I got from the outside. Now, they're good actors.
Yeah.
I'll let you go on in 2 seconds again, Durham, but what you already said is just make some comments on that. When they see you're successful in business and you're raising up kind of high, or you have a natural talent for science and memory, like even very smart, and they try to recruit him first for the UN, like if you're a straight A student, and so they come after you, like Dermot's saying, they do this with anybody who starts getting successful in business, and then the Freemason comes after you. And what Dermot's saying, it's very interesting. They have this little community program where they teach you leadership skills, but they don't say it has nothing to do with Freemason, but they're running it, and they're testing you. And that's and if you pass all their tests, then they invite you into the lodge. Then you can accept or not accept. But that's how they recruit the people. And like Brother Garman's saying here, they offer them power, they offer them money. And let's say, you know, if you want to succeed in this business, you got to go with us. If not, you're not going to succeed in business. You know, I don't care how good your talents are. You need us, and because the Jews are financing the Masons. That's how powerful the Freemasons are. And without the Freemasons, the Jew can't come to power. But the Jew controls the whole Freemasons. When you look at the people think they're just some innocent little social organization. I remember once even my father told me, and he was in Hungary during World War II, and they were on the side of the Germans. You know, but they're U.S. citizens, but they were trapped over there during the war, and they loved the Germans. But after that, they come to the United States. But my father always told me, don't ever join any groups. Now, you could join groups if they're good. The only group he ever let me join was the Boy Scouts. And he probably shouldn't have let that happen anyway. Nothing bad happened in the Boy Scouts, but we heard that one priest was molesting certain kids. The head of the Boy Scout thing, this guy, Father Gallen, he was molesting certain Boy Scouts. My brother Johnny told me that, and I didn't believe it. I got angry at him. I says, no. And it turned out it was true. But anyway, the Boys Club. Okay, but he's one. Don't join. They approached my father to join the Freemasons. That magician guy, the guy Lane I tell you about, he was a Freemason, and he approached my father. My father said, no. So if you're popular, you're famous, and then when you turn him down, you know, watch the movie The Brotherhood of the Bell.
Yeah.
You want to see about how the Freemasons work? We got a lot of stuff on the Jews, but you want to look at the way the Freemasons work? Watch the movie. We have it on here, The Brotherhood of the Bell. Absolutely perfect movie to show you how that works. And watch the Believers. What is it, The Believers? Mm-hmm. About the satanic groups, too. And that's how you get your most power, because they're all involved working with Satan. So what they're recruiting these Irish people, and I always knew this about the Irish clergy over here. Most of them are Freemasons or sympathetic to Freemasons. You don't have to be a Freemason itself, but just a humanist. Believe in their ideals, or if you don't believe in their ideals and you really don't like it, they got blackmail on you. You want to make money, you want to rise up high, so they say shut up and get along, like Mark McGuinness maybe. But so you're seeing how this... The whole political system is permeated by Freemasons that are controlled by the Jews. And the Jews are giving their barking orders. Marking them. Bark, bark. And so they go out there and they recruit these people and they go after you if you got talent. You know, it's kind of weird. Even when I was coming into the church, guaranteed you, and I told you all the stuff that happened to me, and I suspected a lot of the people being Freemasons. You don't ever want to say that about nobody unless you have proof. So this is a little lesson. Because you can falsely accuse. There's nothing worse than falsely accusing somebody. So you really do want to have proof. So, but I can just say, I guarantee you, there was quite a few Freemasons trying to control me. And well, this is what happened to Mark McGuinness. And I never gave in. McGuinness gave in. And all the people that are trying to control me, I'm not saying they were all Freemasons. But they were all on that page with the Jew. The basic thing was you don't talk against the Jews. The Jews are holy people. They're God's chosen people. And even maybe there are some evil Jews, you don't talk about it. You keep your mouth shut. That's how you keep your job. You don't lose your home. So I was being handled. They were trying to sign me up. Not as a Freemason, but to their way of belief. And it's the way of belief all your traditionalists, all your nominal Catholics are like that, almost everyone. There's only very few that will speak out against the Jews. So what was happening to me? And what happened to all of them, like Harry Potter? They molded him. So even though he may not be a Freemason, he fell under their spell and under their control. Because that's what they tell you. You don't talk about the Jew. Even if you believe he's evil, you keep your mouth shut, or you're going to lose your house or your home. Or you're an absolutely positive, explicit defender of the apostate Jew, like the Freemasons are, and bringing them to power. So these people are always around the corner trying to, people like me or anyone of us who's talking out in public about truth, they try to corral us. Go ahead.
Sometimes it's better, too, to get somebody who's not a Freemason but believes in their ideology, so now they're apart, you know, they're not linked to the
Lodge. Yeah, they're not as bad. Yeah. Well, you could get them out, maybe. The problem with the person who isn't a Freemason but fell spell to it because they don't want to lose their home or just humanists because they grew up in school that way, they're easier to convert because they're not under a special oath like the Freemasons. Freemasons are in deep. Yeah. That's like an explicit pact with the devil. If you're a Freemason, it takes a lot. You can get out of there, but you're in deep. The other person, the only way you're going to convert the other people that are going along with, like a Mark McGuinness guy, which we have no record of that happening, is if God punished him severely. Physically, his house goes down, and all these things start happening to him. And he starts getting, like, leprosy, and he's punished, and one thing after another. And then they have to turn around and start looking at God and what's going on, and why is this happening? Because once you join their groups, you begin to prosper financially, in business, and in politics. So you're rising up. You're famous now. And you see it. They're the ones. They're supporting you. It's very hard to get out of that unless God takes it away from you physically. But from my experience, though, like with me even, I before God even punished me, he knew that I loved the truth enough to even give up money for it. When it came to some really key issues. So God sees if there's something inside you that's willing to not give in, and then he punishes you. Then he takes your... If he didn't, God didn't punish me, I would have never converted. But that's why the punishments is a great gift from God when he punishes you. Because as God, he's caring about you, and he's trying to get you to turn away from... because these guys, what do they offer him? Prosperity, financial, business, popularity, political power. And some people, it's idealistic. They'll go in there and say, I know you might not agree with everything we do, but here's our ultimate goal. If you do this, they think you're secretly could be working for some type of a... But when you go to the Freemasons, they very much tell you right there, there's no room for race in here. There's no nations. We have no allegiance to any nation. It's the Freemasonic nation. It's a global nation. That's the explicit Freemason. But they teach that us in school, too. We're taught that we're all one global community, and they... To despise your racial identity and your nation, and also to be indifferent towards religions. So this is what's happening here. And whenever that book gets out, boy, that would be a nice book to have on our site as a true history. It would be like why we need this in Ireland, and we need it in Italy for the Italians. And there's a lot of stuff on the Italians, right? Mazzini and what's going on over there. We do have a lot of books on that. But you need to expose your so-called Irish heroes. Just like we need to expose our United States founding fathers. Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, Abraham Lincoln. I mean, you got Lincoln. Yeah, and so you got all these heroes, right? And then scratch under the surface. And they're good actors, too. They're good actors. But that's like, you know, I think even one of the persons that Will was speaking to wrote back to him and said, wow, I never realized that that many presidents were Freemasons. They didn't realize it. No. Well, and they pretended to be Christians. Some pretended and some didn't even pretend. But some did pretend. A lot of their stuff that they, when you read, but it was like, if you read their stuff, it's there. I mean, Jefferson ripped out half the Bible. All the things about supernatural miracles he ripped. Was it Jefferson? He made his own Bible.
Yeah.
He only liked the social works of Christ. Yeah. He liked Christ as a social worker. Any miracle, the virgin birth, he denied all of that, ripped out all the miracles. There's our hero.
Uh-huh.
That's my hero. We were taught in so-called Catholic schools that these guys are good guys. Why would not our, if you were really a Catholic church, wouldn't you at least tell them the truth? We live here. We have to obey them. As long as they don't make us do something sinful, but you need to know the truth about these people. First of all, they're Protestants. On that alone, they're not true Christians. Secondly, they're not even nominal Christians. They're not even Protestants, really. They're Freemasons, and here's what they believed in. Imagine if we had that in our books. We would be in a ghetto. You wouldn't have a John Kennedy as a president or a Biden, even they're bums, but Kennedy was better than Biden, but we wouldn't progress. Fine, they're kidding in my ghetto. I want the truth. In other words, we've been lied to our whole life. Like Dermot said, the one guy told him, rip up all your history books. It's all crap. History belongs to the victors. And who are the victors in today's time? And they hide the true history of the Catholic Church about Holy Emperor Constantine and Emperor Charlemagne, and they lie about them. If we ever learned our true history, boy, we'd be true Catholics, and we would be persecuted, and we would probably be in a ghetto. They would never let us have any position. I say, fine. I'd rather be in a ghetto. You know, I thought about a ghetto. When you look at the ghettos in New York, when they first came over here, and the Italians, when they still had, like, Catholic, and they had, at least they were, you know, better than they were, and they stayed amongst their own people, and you had your own family, you went to your own churches, like Lou St. Lucie was like that, the whole community, it's all gone.
Right.
Wouldn't you rather live around your own people? Now they're scattered out all over suburbia. The United States are mingled in with Protestants, with Jews, with all kinds of Protestants, with all kinds of other unbelievers, and they're all merged in these little communities, and it's not a Catholic community. You're not living with your own people anymore. You wanted to have the American dream. You look at even the Godfather, the little Italian ghetto, and the Irish right now. Even when I was in the Bronx, they had an Irish section there. I never knew about it. I felt like I was in Ireland. I did. They got an Italian section and an Irish section. But the Irish section in the Bronx, these Irish kids brought me there, and they were pro-life, and there was this one big Irish pro-life bishop. I went to meet him, and I never knew that they had an Irish section in the Bronx. And it was like I was in Ireland. It's like another world. I liked it. It was like, wow, this is like, it's like another world. It's not even the United States. But I bet you if you went back there today, it's not even like that. And this is not even too long ago, when 20, 30 years ago, maybe. But so the best thing that could have ever happened to us in the United States, at least, is to stay in our own little ghettos and not merge in with the rest of the society, unless they allowed us to practice our faith and they won't, you know, like the proper oaths and all that. But in Ireland, you see, that's why Ireland took longer in Poland and some of these nations. But they took those, and some of the nations had to be overthrown by violence. And God punished. See, the thing is, too, why did God allow us not to have ghettos? Why did we lose all that? Because we weren't Catholic. That's why Ireland and Italy and Germany, they all lost. And it goes back 1,000 years.
Yeah.
It's not just, it's like, and it got worse, you see? It got worse. 1800s is getting worse and worse and worse. And so you're living in a situation where there's hardly any Catholics. So how's God going to bless these countries? And if God's not protecting them, then who's, you know, it's the devil who's running these countries. Anything else, Dermot?
Yeah, just an interesting point about Martin McGuinness there, Richard. You're saying about, you know, how God strikes people, punishes them. He died an awful death. And it was around the time when Sinn Féin started embracing the whole LGBTQ crap. They were always like a pro-life party, and then they became pro-choice.
Oh.
Now, McGuinness was always staunchly pro-life, but he cut out of the party line, and he became pro-abortion. Then he struck very ill with a one in a million illness. It attacked his vital organs. He died an awful death.
Yeah.
You know?
God punished him.
Yeah.
God punished him.
Yeah.
See, on that alone, That's bad. This is what I'm talking about, right? Now we know about this man, okay? And I'll tell you, most people deny the truth, and they know it's the truth, because they don't want to lose their political position and their power and their money or blackmail. And because the truth is, that's all I say, the truth is everything, you know? John 4:23, Jesus says, adore the Father in spirit and truth. John 17:17, sanctify my name in truth. And John 8:32, the truth shall set you free. John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Truth, 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 truth. And when you start giving up things that you know to be true that are very vital, and you say, now I know this guy McGinnis personally that is pro-life, but now he's going pro-abortion to appease the party. What is he saying? He loses all credibility. He's a bum. He's nobody. You're a hypocrite. You're nothing. You don't even profess what you believe in. You're a mouse. You're afraid. You put human respect above God. You put popularity and money above God. Generally, a good-willed person, when that happens, he gets so angry, he never gives in. Now, sometimes he may give in, and later on he gets a conscience. But if they never get a conscience, and here's the problem, when McGinnis, when he gave in, this is the scary part. You know that he was pro-life at one time, but this happens. Then he caved in so he can keep his position in power. So now he says, I'm pro-abortion, but he personally still believes pro-life. But sooner or later, you're not even pro-life anymore. Sooner or later, you start because you're a coward, and you don't want to say you're a coward. So you don't look in the mirror every morning and say, Mark McGinnis the coward. Mark McGinnis the coward. Mark McGinnis the liar. That, hey, I can't take it anymore. I'm going to kill myself. What am I going to do? I'm not a liar. I'm not a coward. Abortion is okay. There's nothing wrong with abortion. It is fine. And then you start justifying because you don't want to think you're a coward. You don't want to look at yourself. You can either kill yourself or you're going to... So then that's the worst scenario. Then you begin to really be pro-abortion. Like the homos. The thing with the homos. How could a part... See... And so God punished this guy. Said, like Arius when he died, his guts, you know, that big story about his painful death. Right. McGinnis disappointed us the most, and I knew he caved in near the end when he made those compromises, remember? Yeah, yeah. We, early on, we had some hope for them. Yeah. Jerry Adams, I was a little ambiguous about because his relationship with Clinton, but McGinnis, and when he started to cave in, and you heard him when he was going, I said, this don't sound like the same guy. No. I was disappointed. Yeah. You see how you get disappointed? Don't put your hope in any of these people unless they're staunchly, totally Catholic. And nobody's been Catholic for how many years now? And if you're really Catholic, that means you profess the salvation dogma. And that alone is going to get you... That too, by the way, it wasn't just a Jew thing that got me... it was a salvation dogma too. But then, I was around the people that held the salvation dogma, like the St. Benedict Center and a lot of these guys, and they still didn't like it because I talked against the Jews. But they talked against the Jews too, though. But I did it publicly. And when I did it publicly, that was it. So, because there's a group that's worried about losing their finances. And like Derman said, it's not a matter of just, they tell you you're not going to prosper. They can actually take your business down. They can put you out of business. They can make your life miserable. They can rob your home. They could lie about you. They can do all things about you. But generally, if you reject them and you never were part of them, they'll leave you alone, but they're not going to give you anything. You're not going nowhere. You're just stuck where you are. But if you're one of them and you get out, then that's even more severe. Yeah.
That's what happened to me in my gallery.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
They invite me in to be, you know, Mason. But they didn't bother me afterwards. I saw the guy who tried it one time. There was a forest fire behind it up at a college. And I was up there, and he happened to just be right up there next to me. And I said a couple things, and he was making fun of me.
Tell him that story about it. Tell him that's interesting what we're talking about.
Yeah,
you can get it right. We'll put you on here to embarrass you. So they can come after you. Okay, go ahead. You can start.
A guy named Ron Goodman
I'll paraphrase before Bruce tells the story. He was first, so you know, Bruce is a very good artist. He is. I love his art too. And he should be more than his modern art. People are freaks. He's got really good art, and they knew it. And he wanted to get into the art community, but he never liked the art. He'll tell you about it. It's so freaking modern. And so he was approached by a gentleman who offered him to join the Freemasons, and he refused. And after that, Bruce has never been a famous artist, and he never will be. But they didn't bother him, but they didn't help him. That's what I was just saying about people that, you'll tell the story in a minute, that refuse him. So when you refuse him, they'll say, well, he ain't going to get our help. But what happens, though, is you'll go to a gallery and go, no, we don't need it. And the word's out. You're on the list. If you're a Freemason and you leave, they'll actually actively come after you. But so go ahead, tell the story.
Yeah, I was doing pretty good in the gallery. I sold a couple, one $4,000 painting, and I had a lot of paintings in the gallery. And the guy, Ron Goodman, asked me, I forget exact words, whatever, but he wanted me to join the Masons. And I had already read stuff about the Masons. I really wasn't Catholic yet. I thought I was Catholic, but I still was outside the church. I knew that was a bad move, you know, and so after I said I didn't want to be in the Masons, I don't remember if something happened between us, and I wanted to get all my paintings out of there, and he wasn't going to let me get all the paintings out of there, and he called some cop that he knew, which was probably was
Freemason,
you know,
yeah.
And tried to, you know, put some weight on me, you know, lean on me a little bit about it. I got the paintings out of there anyway. But never did anything go good for me in the town after that. We were selling fruit.
Oh, yeah.
And the big city market got us out of the cross from their city market.
This is Colorado, by the way.
Yeah.
And what was the name of the town you used to sell? Was it Durango?
Durango.
And because full of Masons. Oh, go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead. So yeah. you were in a nice place. Across from the city market, doing really well. And what happened?
Doing real well. And they didn't want us in there anymore. So they kicked us out. They got our landlady, old lady, to kick us out.
Yeah.
But we knew who it was because Laura had heard some things that went on with some people that she worked with.
And the city council, too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Then everywhere we went after that, they got us out. We couldn't stay in any place.
They kept kicking them out every time you set up.
I haven't went to the city.
Well, there's an example, though, of what I just said. Sometimes they say they let you alone, but what I meant by that is they're not going to come in your house and steal your stuff, but they're not going to let you prosper.
That's
correct. So they're not going to let you proceed and prosper in that business. They keep you down. And not only keep you down, they're trying to put you out of business. Didn't you eventually you had to set up on the highways outside of town?
Yes, I had to go on the highways.
The state highways.
And several other parts, just at the fringe of Durango.
Out of their jurisdiction.
They didn't want us there either. They got us out of there.
I even went to the city council and they formulated this phony letter about how we couldn't be over there south of Walmart because of some law about the business zone.
Yeah.
And there was already a shoe store there previously.
Yeah.
But I knew it was a phony letter.
Yeah, and there was other people setting up and they didn't say nothing about them.
Yeah.
Oh, but, and I remember when you were going through that, and it was the city council guys, you even knew the couple names you threw out that were verbally against you on that. But I was around when that was happening to you.
Roser, yeah. I think it was a
Jew.
You kept moving, trying to find a place to go.
Yeah.
See, that's what we're talking
about. Actually, also, you know, we listed, you know, no salvation outside the church, you know.
Yeah, and they had the signs up.
That
don't help neither.
That was.
Yeah.
I would see people that used to be my customers. They'd come up to the gas station and they would just walk and look over.
Yeah.
You know,
they'd have like the St. John the Baptist thing up under in their thing, and
that was the end of that.
But wherever he sold, you did a good job business.
Yeah.
Wherever he was,
as
long as he was allowed to stay wherever he stayed. But see, they're trying to put him out of his business. And that's the way it is with these people. And that's the way it works with all, I was thinking about even the big companies, right?
Yeah.
Say you have a big company, not IBM, but somebody like that, and they're not really toeing the line. And they go, I'm not going to toe the line. I'm conservative and I want to promote conservative principles. Well, what happens to that guy? Now, he could say, I'm an island and I don't need you because I got my own business. But he needs a bank, doesn't he?
No.
He needs credit cards. He needs to have a financial backing of the banking system, and he needs other trucking companies to help him. They'll get him.
No.
He can't do it. It's impossible. Even my point was, I was thinking, is there such a thing as a guy that can have a big business and exist outside this global network where he can be conservative? No, he can't exist outside of it because. They control the truckers. They control the bankers. The Jews were not given loans. They'll pull back his loans. They'll call in his mortgage payments. They'll maybe close down his bank accounts, mess around with his credit card systems. And then he says, well, wait, what's going on here? Well, either you start promoting the LGBT community and stop talking about Jews, or you're out of business, pal. You cannot function in business. And really, business all depends on the banking industry. As you said, who controls the money? The banks controls the business. So you can't even be a business now and be conservative. You got to go along with the agenda, and because you can't exist outside of it, because the whole system's controlled by them. The way trades take place, trucking, you need your product to be trucked. They control the trucking companies. They control the unions that are working for you. You're done. It's impossible. The Jews got the stranglehold on the whole world financially through the banking system into Freemasons. Like when the devil took Jesus up to the high time, he says, look, I can worship me and I give you all the kingdoms of the world. Now, when we had a Catholic world, at least early on, Charlemagne those days, that was a beautiful world. We controlled everything. But it was a Catholic world under peace, justice, and true mercy. It was a holy global system, but we never destroyed national identities. These guys are gangsters and thieves. They come to power by every kind of vice and every kind of sin. It's a filthy, stinking, lousy global thing. And they also destroy and they look down on human beings as bugs. Like Hitler perfectly said about the communist socialism as opposed to his true good socialism, if you read his statements on that. So, and here's a good example of Bruce being approached. And after that, he's just telling you, not only did he never become famous in his art, even they were persecuting him in his fruit business. And if you look at his art, it's beautiful. He still sells paintings on his own. He's got his own site here and there. But at what price, if you want to be famous? And it's kind of good, Bruce, because if you were famous, look at these artsy-fartsy people in town.
Oh.
And Bruce never liked them anyway. No, they're so freaky.
I can tell them a little.
It's like if you talked to his life on another planet, you'd think these people dropped in from another planet. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you would go to openings where you may or may not have had some art in there. I went to openings, Taos, you know, up at Santa Fe. Durango, the kind of people that you were wanting that you needed to sell the paintings to, only people with a little bit of money buy art, at least my kind of art, and stuff that's not good art, they pay millions for, you know.
That crap, right.
It's really horrible. But anyway, you walk around with a glass of wine in your hand, shaking hands with people that you know you don't like, and you just—if you don't suck up to those people, you're not going anywhere in the art world.
And when you say don't like, it's a strongest form of not like. You know what I mean? Yeah. You cannot like somebody, and he's okay.
Yeah.
And so you can even like some non-Catholics. You can like them because on the natural plane. But these people, it's like, wow. Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, like.
It's like when you have two magnets and you turn them the opposite.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly right. Ryan, that is so true.
They repel me.
If any one of us just right now, the way I'm dressed, if I walked into our faggy little food shops, they go to these little fancy food shops with their vegan or whatever they got. If I ever walked into one of those shops, everybody would stop. And I would stop. And we'd go, ooh. It's like repulsion. They look at me. I'd look at them. I'd go, oh, I'm in the wrong place. Or we can go into the barbecue place with the conservative people and the cowboys, and we have no problem.
Yeah.
We walk in there, and it's comfortable. Because conservative, cowboy, worker, rancher kind of people, you don't have to like everyone in there, but you don't hate. I mean, they're more likable. You feel more at home.
Yeah.
You walk into these places, it is like, you know, purple hair, pink hair. You know, they got stuff coming out of here, bones in their noses, and you're going like... I got to get out of here. I don't belong in this place, you know.
So you experienced that when you went into that other...
What a funny story. You're going to love this. We're looking for the one hot bat that we used to go, the guy had to close down for a while because he had a problem with the...
They burned it down.
Yeah. And that's a long story. Because when these artsy-fartsy people came to town, we got one of the best hot springs, hot bats in the whole world, they say. It doesn't have that strong sulfur smell, but it's still in there, but it has all these other minerals. So it's really And it's great for me because I got all these injuries from football, a couple injuries that on my back and all, I popped one of my discs, broke one of my ankles, broke the pinky, and back, neck, over. Anyway, so the hot baths are really good, right?
It used to be Hot Springs.
It used to be called Hot Springs even here. And it's world famous. But when the artsy-fartsy people came in, they started drilling all these wells. And the more wells you drill, the less pressure you get. And then they had to start getting pumps to pump the water out. And but anyway, this one guy we went to, who's good, he was there for years, and he was fighting against them. Sid Bryant was the gang leader, and he's trying to fight against them. He's not getting anywhere. He's losing wherever he goes. Finally, his place gets burnt down. They burned it down. But anyway, so I'm looking for another place to go that has, and Ron said, hey, there's a place in town. What was the name of it again? Blackstone.
Blackstone.
He said, oh, Blackstone. It's a place, Blackstone. Same thing, $5 for half an hour, and hot bath and all that. I said, good. Yeah. And so Ron ran into somebody in town, they told him about it and gave him a card. So I go there, and I walk in, and I'm walking into the patio, and there's about three people sitting at a table. And I'm walking in, and they just all look at me. And they're staring at me, and I went, what's wrong with them? Yeah. I felt like I'm walking into like an enemy territory.
Yeah.
Then I go to the desk with a girl. She's got a rainbow color hat on. No, well, like not rainbow. It was not rainbow. It was not obvious yet, but a really goofy hat. She was like one of those lefty liberal artsy fartsies people. And she had a cat that was so well groomed, like the homos when I groomed her beard. You know, it was like a perfect grooming. And then what happened was I went, wow. And she's looking at me like, what are you doing here? And I went, well, I want to get a hot bath. I heard you got a hot bath there, $5, half hour. Oh, yeah, okay. And she's very uncomfortable. So I go in and take the hot bath, and then there's other people, like, they're looking at me, too. Everyone's looking at me weird. And I'm looking at them weird, too, because they're weird. Especially she was weird. Then when I'm walking out, and I go at the desk, and I see she goes, we're LGBTD friendly.
Oh.
It's the rainbow. I saw the rainbow thing. I went, what am I doing in here? I got to get out of here. I bet you someone's going to film that and say, I bring he's a homo.
I think that was after we did the parade thing, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, so yeah.
All,
oh, yeah, well, yeah.
They knew.
Yeah. Faggots, you know, and I'm walking into their place. I said, that was my first and last hot bath in that place. I said, what am I doing in this place?
Yeah.
You know, I went, oh, LGBT friendly. And I said, Ron, who is this guy that gave you the card? So, anyway, but anyway, they burned him out. You know, they're taking over this town. You see how they do it. Real estate. You get a rich Freemason or a Jew that comes into town. He buys up the property, and then he's paying the real estate to this, and it's big money. But the art shops, I said to Bruce, it would be nice if he could get it. I mean, do we have him linked online? Didn't we have it on my site?
We used to have a site, and then we don't have
Oh, you don't have it no more?
Yeah.
No. You got to see his pictures. It's a shame, though. I got them all over. His pictures are beautiful. I mean, his art is beautiful. Remember you had the site? Maybe you should set one up. I'll put it on my site.
Yeah, I'll make a new site.
Make a new one. I'll put it on my site. I just said to Bruce, you're going to be the only Catholic artist who makes good art, and they're going to get, when God does miracles, and they're going to be buying them from St. John the Baptist website. Here's Bruce the God's art gallery. We'll have our art galleries. Anybody who has got some type of sanity and does art is not accepted out in that world. Most of it is just freaky, modern garbage. They have a few people that have some good stuff out there, but they also have to pay their dues. But they don't, but like Bruce said, even the good art that's out there, they have to compromise their beliefs. Because if they were preaching the salvation dogma or like we do, guaranteed, they're not going to be famous anymore. They're going to close down your art shop. I mean, Franco in Spain knew about these people. The first thing the devil attacks, he likes to make ugly what God makes beautiful. Art, music, movies. He likes to turn things into ugliness because he's ugly. And he likes to hit the art businesses and he turns it into ugliness. And then when you have those type of people in there, they're the lefty liberals, extreme, immoral to the highest degree, all kinds of vices. And Franco hated them. And there was a center where they all went and they had a big meeting. It was like where all the art people went in Spain. I forget where it was. And he knew when they had their big meetings, they were all there. It was a big center anyway, and they all would go there once a year, and he bombed it down. He threw a bomb on it, and he blew them all up. Now, that's what I call a good guy, right? Franco did a lot of good things. He was friendly with Hitler, you know? They were neutral during the war, but they let Germany come in and use their ports for submarines and everything. So, here, that's pretty good, ain't it? Because it's one of their sources of corruption, along with colleges, but your art. But you're never going to restore. And look, things just start. Yeah, we went back to the Renaissance era. Look at the Renaissance paintings with the nakeds. It's unbelievable. These guys were Slavs. They were extreme lefty liberals when you look at the art in the church. It's just like completely naked. Am I crazy here? They have a sign outside the Vatican. You got to dress modest or you can't come in here. And you walk in and there's naked pictures all over the wall. Totally naked. Breast, private parts. It's crazy. Michelangelo, why was he famous in that time? Because he was a homo too. Precisely because of the way he painted. He did some good things, but a lot of bad things too.
It's the statue of David I've seen.
Oh, horrible. Both of them. Even the one that's manly, he's completely naked. And then the other one that's in the Medici movie, yeah. You see, that's even, he's like a girl with a little feather hat on. He looks like a fag, like a real effeminate faggot. So it goes back. And my point is, this is how it reflects in any type of business. There's no real true Catholic businesses anymore that are big businesses. You can't, it will never, if you're a true Catholic, it ain't going to happen. Like Wall Street article, you're going to be ostracized, persecuted, put aside, and your story is a living proof of it. And you're a world-class artist, and they don't want no part of you, right? And your fruit was I'll tell you something. I used to have peaches, you know. You know the peaches you get in the can with syrup? Those are heretical peaches. That's not a real peach. It's a heretical, I call it an apostate heretical peach. It's, you know, that thick syrup with the peach, you know. That ain't, first time I had a real peach, fresh, Bruce. And apples, his apples. Never have you had a better apple or peach than when I had Bruce's orchard. Unbelievably, wow. I mean, he used to get his peaches from Grand Junction, but he grew his own apples. So my point is, he had good fruit. And wherever he was able to set up, he did sell. But they were always persecuting him and pushing him out. Just like your art. And art, it was even more difficult because you need to have, you know, they control that even. And like you can set up a fruit stand anywhere, but in art, it's not the same with art, you know? Yeah.
You need them. They take 50% of what you, or more, of what you paint. And you need that exposure. You need those people to be in touch with all their
That's
people.
Right.
Well, Ryan can tell you that, you know, he works for Neil. Neil's wife is an artist.
Yeah.
She sells little paintings for thousands of dollars and everything.
Painting this size.
Right. And see, they were originally going to let, remember, there's something was going to, and then that didn't happen either.
Not
because you're too Catholic. Yeah. Because you're really a true Catholic. So that's the way the world is. Now, my point is, we should get a site together. I'm going to link it on my site. I want his pictures up there because he's got a lot of light. I want, and we'll put them up for sale. Do you put prices under them, right?
Yeah.
Put prices under them.
Yeah.
Let's start selling them. Yeah. And I even said that if it was possible to rent out a place in town, I'd like to put them up in a place in a studio in town or even now because you'd be a thorn in their ass. I mean, they want to burn your ass down, kick you out of town. But I'm moving in, man. This is not your domain only. I'm moving in. And boy, with the looks you would get and all that, you know. They'd probably get some Antifa people after you to burn down your artwork.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, they would. It'd be trouble. You know.
As soon as I saw my, webpage or whatever.
Yeah. What? You'd be like the...
We'll probably post this up. This is worth posting up, see? I ended up doing a lecture anyway. But it's nothing too big. I'm going to have Dermot. Look, Dermot is going to do all the... So I don't have to do much work on it, you see? We haven't said anything here that needs to be edited out, I don't think, unless Dermot wants to edit out the name of that, the guy he's mentioning. He may want to edit out some names. All right.
The guy I mentioned.
Well, we could leave him in.
Now.
He's who cares about him? We'll mention him. Yeah, I know. He's dead. Even if he was alive, he was a Freemason. You know.
He was dead before he was dead.
And if you're not famous, they don't even approach you. But they even approach lower guys to do some of the lower works. They call them the porch Masons, and they stayed out. But they even get helped.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a big thing, you know. But we're all when you learn, when you go back and you learn the great apostasy is a great devastation to. You're talking about Ireland and the United States. The United States was never Catholic, but maybe parts of it were. But Ireland at one time. But look what happened to the Catholic Church. How they took it over from the 11. That should make you more angry than even what's going on in Ireland. When you look at my Hellenization of Christianity, the great apostasy, that should make you so angry. You know, and you're looking at what these people did and how they lied. It's the same people. It's the same people. Okay, we'll end soon. Dermot, any other thing to add? I think that guy Hume, I heard of him. Isn't he famous? Like, yeah, was he a Nobel Peace Prize winner and all that?
Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
Dermot, yeah.
He
rubbed shoulders with the presidents as well.
Well, he had to be a human. He's probably a Freemason or a humanist at least.
Yeah, he's probably a Freemason as well, you know. I should have grilled him on that, but yeah, he's most likely was most likely
running a prostitute house.
Yeah, this guy too, yeah, he knew a lot about the Irish saints as well. Like, he's really well researched, and I mentioned Columba, and he said, what about St. Brendan? He actually discovered America. I said, oh, did you hear that too? He says, I've read all St. Brendan stuff, yeah. About his voyages and his travels, he actually touched down in America first. Obviously, he didn't get the recognition for it. He was just a wee Irish monk, you know. Yeah. Nobody's going to pay notice what he discovered. Yeah, but it was really interesting.
Yeah,
it's
amazing because you got to look back at all your heroes and say they're anti-heroes.
Yeah.
Anyone who became a hero and famous, you got to scratch under the surface. Some might not have been as bad as others. But how do you become famous and a hero in a society that's already steeped into Freemasonic and controlled by the Jews? Going back hundreds of years, you know? And that's why when Hitler came along, he upset the whole apple cart. He set them all on fire. I mean, he did what you needed to do. I mean, he actually physically went there and closed down all the Freemasonic lodges and banned them. You know? Kicked the Jews, got rid of their money power. I mean, if he wasn't around then, the world would have ended even sooner. He's put them back on their heels for a little bit. And that's why they hate him so much. Because he really went out and exposed them. And he hated secret societies. It's evil secret societies. You could have some good secret societies that are for good, maybe. But evil secret societies, you know, plotting to come to power by evil means, evil methods, bringing in evils and sins into society. And that's Satan's kingdom.
Here's another interesting point, Richard. There's actually a nationalist majority in Northern Ireland, the Minnesota. There was a referendum called the majority of the people would vote for a united Ireland. But they're not holding, there's no discussion about that referendum. And that gets said, the reason for that is it's not suiting the Freemasonic agenda at the minute to have a united Ireland. At the minute, you know, the way it's split over Brexit, the North has left Europe. Ireland's still in it. So if we get the North and Brexit, then they'll have a referendum for United Ireland, and the whole lot of us can go back into Europe that way.
That's right. They don't like the group that's not in the Euro Union, the Union, the European Union. They want to force you into that European Union. And that's why they don't want it. They want that global, complete control. And where Dermot is, I think he's not a part of it, because Britain just left, England just left the European Union. I think where TJ is, he's part of the European Union. So they want it all to be European Union. It's, look at the trouble they got to break away from there. There's still stuff happening, though. You know, I mean, there's forces that are, I mean, there's some people out there that want to do good things. And that, you know what happened with that Brexit, too? They made a big mistake. They let the people vote. And when the people voted for it, they got all back on their heels. And look how long it took for them even to finally get out. So they're still trying to drag them back in again. All right, so... Okay, I think that was we gave a lecture today anyway. What is it, almost 12? Yeah, so. Name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Okay.